Yow, what's goody, what's goody? It's your girl, DJ Exclusive with the Nothing Podcast and everything lit. And on this stream tonight, we are going to be talking about Tasha K versus Jess Hilarious. We're going to be getting into that Rory versus DJ Academics. And of course, we got to talk about Meek Mill versus DJ Drama. Now, if you're not a fan of gossip YouTube or gossip Twitter, this just might not mean nothing to y'all. But listen, the girls are fighting. Word on the street is Jess Hilarious ain't have nothing nice to say about Tasha K while she was reporting the news on The Breakfast Club last week, okay? Now, if you're under a rock, then let me get you updated. YouTuber and streaming personality Tasha K said some disparaging things about Cardi B on her stream a few years back, leading Cardi to sue her for defamation. Okay, after several attempts to get Tasha K to take the content down, admit that she was not telling the truth, and quote unquote wiping her ass with cease and desist letters, Cardi finally won her judgment in court for $4 million, completely changed the trajectory of blogging and essentially being able to say whatever you want about celebrities. It's kind of forcing streamers and bloggers such as myself to have just a little bit more integrity when you're reporting and you're talking about these people. We can't just get on the internet and make up anything, okay? So, since being awarded the $4 million, Tasha K kind of trolls Cardi B. She gets online. She says that, what are the words I'm looking for? She'll make comments and she'll say, I ain't got it. I'm broke. There's a lot of rumors that she went on vacation, hid her money somewhere in Africa, and she's pretty much been trying to duck her responsibilities as it pertains to actually owing Cardi B this money. Well, it has been reported that Cardi has stopped playing with Tasha and has begun to garnish her wages. It is also reported that Cardi B recently seized $640 from the YouTuber. And this is coming up after she seized an additional $1,000 prior. So it's safe to say that Tasha K is not making that much money on her main YouTube channel. Now, I'm not too sure what she's making on her website, but from what Cardi is seizing, she's not getting that much money. So let's take a listen to what Jess Hilarious actually had to say about Tasha K on The Breakfast Club.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's nasty. Real nasty. Anyway, Cardi B is seizing $640 from Tasha K. Broke it. Oh my God, why y'all put that in it? Say no.
$640 or $640,000?
We talk about Tasha K, honey, not Tasha St. Patrick. No. You funny. This is $640, sir, from Tasha K. As she still owes her millions after losing a defamation lawsuit. So Tasha K has been doing everything in her power not to pay Cardi B this money. We know she acting like she broke. You know she doing that. So she went to Mali, yo. She left the country. She's stupid. I mean, she is crazy. She left the country, yo.
Not to pay Cardi B?
Not to pay. Cardi sought to recover $3,868,753 from Tasha K. Cardi, you know you're not getting that money.
No, but Cardi gonna do that. Cardi gonna make sure she get every last dime. She gonna...
Yeah, well, she did. $640.
She'll get $640.
Because when you lose the lawsuit and you can't pay it, they garnish your
wages. So they take your house, your cars, your property, liens, assets, and all everything. That.
So she gonna be in Mali for a long time, huh?
Who's more petty, Cardi or 50?
I think 50. Because Cardi didn't even want to do this to this girl.
What you mean?
They
both were my petty level.
She asked her, yo, she asked her so many times. Then she asked her, like, yo,
just take this
just
down.
Relax. Mm-hmm. Like, don't keep my name out your mouth. Take this down. You asked her. She asked you twice to do that. Even when she won the lawsuit, she said, I don't even want to be doing this to another black woman. Mm-hmm. But it's like, and you keep antagonizing it, and y'all got an open case. Tasha K still to this day runs her mouth, talks about Cardi, never stops. So it's like, I don't know.
That's what I want
to
say.
I think 50 Petty, you ain't got to do nothing to 50.
That's why I say when it comes to situations like this, man, don't laugh, learn. Like all you YouTubers and folks with blogs, stop spreading rumors and false stories about people, because all of this could have been avoided if she would have respected, you know, like Jess said, you know, Cardi's wishes early on. And I'm sure she got a cease and desist early on from Cardi's lawyers, but she probably ignored that and kept going. So, you know.
Yep, so she is taking all her YouTube checks. That's what it is. And Tasha K been around on YouTube for a second, so yeah, look like she gonna be brokey.
Now, I am not the one to gossip, so don't get me to lying. But if I'm being honest, Jess Hilarious didn't do anything wrong, in my opinion. Do I feel like she was adding on some sauce while she was reporting what was going on? Yeah, but I also understand that that's the requirement. You're on a nationally syndicated radio show that is also on national TV with millions of listeners that are not only listening to the show live, but more people will tune in on demand, listening to it on iHeart, however you may consume The Breakfast Club. I say that to say it's very important to be entertaining. No one wants to listen to the news or listen to the radio from someone that's boring, that doesn't make them laugh, that doesn't excite them. You know what I'm saying? And as a person that does commentary, that is a part of it that is a challenge for a lot of us. You know, a lot of us do not necessarily have personality or have the voice or know how to be funny. You know what I'm saying? So that is a benefit for getting a comedian to deliver, you know, gossip and rumors, because they can deliver it in a way that'll make it funny, make it more enjoyable for the listeners. It's not like she said anything that isn't true. It's not like she said anything that isn't accurate. And beyond that, other people are reporting on Tasha K, calling her broke and saying all types of things about them, about her. And she's not necessarily responding to them, coming at them, especially the way that she decided to come at Jess Hilarious. Now, see, this might not mean nothing to y'all, but Tasha K might want to calm down, because this is why she got sued in the first place, by getting on the internet and saying things that she knows unequivocally is not true. All right. Now, we're going to roll the clip and listen to exactly what Tasha K had to say. Not going to listen to it in full, but I want y'all to get an idea of what she was saying, where she was going on her live. And then she turns it around and makes it about something completely different, where at the end of the day, it just appears that Tasha K is mad that she had to catch some jokes.
The Breakfast Club was over when Angela Yee left. I think I was too hard on Angela Yee. I really was. We didn't give her enough credit, because now we starting to see that show fall apart. Okay, but when you put Tasha K name in your mouth, well, it may be the truth. It may be a lie. But don't get mad when I come and I literally take you by them few pieces of hair you got at the top and drag your ass back to reality, okay? Because at the end of the day, yeah, this is a free internet. This freedom of speech, okay? But I have freedom of response. I have freedom of consequences. Freedom for lawsuits, okay? Because I told y'all, when they come for me, I'm coming back and I'm going straight to hell. Now, let's watch this nigga who had the pleasure of labeling mess unhilarious a side bitch, okay? I had to pull the receipts. I was going to tell my social media team to post it, but I was like, nah, it's going to take too long, okay? Because they in the comments talking about they want black women to stick together. They said we look alike. We do. We're twin brother and sister. That's what that is, okay? And those of y'all said we got the same hair. No. I have edges, okay? I have edges. She has bare skin. There's a difference, okay? That's why I'm the twin sister, she's the twin brother, since you want to say that we look alike. But since y'all want to say Tasha bringing up old shit, talking about why you posting old pictures, the pictures ain't old of her, because her edges have not grown back, okay? The real BB Judy's drops that she was advertising didn't work. Now, let's talk about her, you know, her so-called man who bought her a house, and she claims she co-signed on the house. That's why they don't like me. Let me tell you, because I don't understand why this interview didn't go viral. Okay, so since those of y'all are saying you just jealous because her man bought her a house. No, 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 no. No, no, no. It wasn't her man. She was a side bitch. That man was married to somebody else. And she thought that man was supposed to tell her that he was married when she was a side bitch. You a side bitch. You're not supposed to ask no questions. Asking all them questions. Asking all them questions, okay? Now, let's hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. We have to give credit, too, to the source, all right? Hold on, wait, wait, wait. Let me get the receipts. Let me get the receipts, because y'all like, I'm like, mm-hmm. What, you ready? There they go right there. So nobody gave this interview no clout. I watch everything, okay? I see what the hell going on right here. Now, she don't let her bosses try to tell her to come for me. Now, the thing is, if you're going to come for me, just know I'm coming to go back to hell. That's where I'm going. I'm in hell, all right? That's where I am. You want to join me? Bitch, say something back, okay? Now, watch this, okay? Now, Country Wayne came out to clarify what she been lying to y'all about, okay? She's been trying to convince y'all that those ass shots that she lied about for so many years, saying that her body was real, because she was in the process of changing from man to woman. And she was trying to convince y'all, and she was trying to convince herself that she was 100% woman. That's not the case, okay? And so she thought by being with Country Wayne that this was going to solidify her being an actual woman with a man-made hole. I told you, we're twin brother and sister, since you say we look alike. Now watch this.
You and your ex, Just Hilarious, went together for 6 months, right? And you bought sis a house. What made you buy her house so quick? Like, what happened?
First of all, rented
out. You rented a house. Yeah. Totally different thing.
Yeah, you know, I got a house because you. I was kicking with her. She had a place, but she wanted to move closer to her. I'm like, I ain't finna just be staying with you. Cause I was about to get me a house anyway.
Okay.
Cause I'm not about to just live in no girl house.
Yeah.
So had to be she you. Wanted to build a house. She's my girl. I like her. And this what you about to get.
I want to give you a little information regarding a recent interview that Jess Hilarious had on a podcast, where she essentially said a celebrity to which she did not name hopped in her DMs and essentially wanted to fly her out so she could smash them in they ass with a dildo because they thought that she was a transgender. And they even offered money for her to do this. And she wasn't offended that they offered her money or even propositioned her. She was more so offended that they thought that she was a guy. Now, the person that was interviewing her, they were essentially laughing and joking and saying maybe they was drunk, maybe they were this, that, and the third, because, you know, you don't look like no dude, whatever the case may be, which I agree. I do not think Jess Hilarious looks like a guy in any shape, form, or magnitude, nor do I believe she sounds like one. But I can certainly understand, you know, if that person see her a different kind of way, he jumped in her DMs and really put himself out there. This is why the world is dying to know who that person was. But we're going to digress. I felt the need to give you that information before I play the clip from Tasha K and how Tasha K decided to respond. So here goes Jess Hilarious on the podcast.
Do a segment here called The Dark Side of the DM.
Okay.
I told you a little bit about it earlier.
Yes.
Is there a DM that you would like to share with these motherfucking people?
Yes. Okay. So it's a cliffhanger. So this guy's a celebrity.
Blue check in the DM.
Yep. This nigga DM'd me and wanted to fly me out so I could fuck him.
In the ass?
Yes. But not with a dildo. This nigga thought I was a man. He really did think I was he thought I was a transgender.
He thought I was trans. She won the competition, didn't she?
He was very
drunk. What he was.
What the fuck is wrong with him?
Very direct with it. Like, I was like, this is crazy. Wow. Yes. I would like to know this nigga's name later. Mm-hmm. Woo! Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If he made the deal seem pretty juicy, you know, let's say you single and, you know, he maybe offered you $100,000, would you have put a strap on and fuck them in the ass?
Absolutely. What do you mean?
Oh.
Wow.
Girl, yeah. I was trying to go find a dick. Right. It was money involved. I just couldn't find one.
Have you ever used a strap on somebody?
No, I was trying to practice all this. But I think I was more insulted because he thought I was a man. So I was like,
fuck him.
Bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
But when I seen like the wager, the money, I was like, oh, wow, my God.
Now, I ain't going to hold you, but I feel like Tasha K's feelings was actually hurt. And I do feel like Tasha K is bothered. And I do feel like, though she is very resilient, because I'm a fan of Tasha K and I watch her streams, and even after the lawsuit, she was very resilient. You know what I mean? Like, she was really keeping us entertained, keeping us engaged, laughing at her own pain through this whole time. But with the recent news that she's filing for bankruptcy and all of this, is definitely probably weighing on her. Because I know I'm a human being, and if it was me in her shoes, it would definitely be weighing on me. And even though you get on the internet and you laugh and joke, but the reality is this woman has a family. She has children. And that's a lot of money to not only owe somebody, but to be held accountable for it. And they come in to get it regardless of how they got to get it, whether it's they're seizing your bank account or they're having Google/YouTube send your checks directly to them. They are coming for you. And the way that she just came for Jess' whole life and her whole private situation with her ex-boyfriend as a defense to the actual truth of what you're really going through is crazy. To call this woman a trans and allude to she was transitioning from a man to a woman, telling brazen lies that you know are not true without saying allegedly, you're just literally getting on this camera saying whatever you want about a person because they got on the radio and they did their job. And there are a lot of YouTubers and a lot of streamers sitting on YouTube talking about you and calling you out of your name, saying all type of things, putting your name in their titles and everything so you can find it and they can get clout off of your name. But you're not dragging them. You're not saying anything about them. Because they're not a syndicated show that's on national TV. You definitely want that Breakfast Club clout. You're talking about they need to change the show to the Breakfast. They need to change the name of the Breakfast Club to be about you because they're talking about you because you're in the news. And as somebody that does this, that's something that you should more than understand. For you to really try to drag Jess like that just because she did her job was kind of crazy. And you exposing Wayne, that don't make Jess look crazy. Because at the end of the day, whether he bought the house or rented the house, she didn't drop a bag on it. He did. That was his decision. You can't make somebody else look bad because somebody did some sucker shit for them. That's crazy. Tasha, you was bugging. But hey, I digress. What do y'all think about the whole Jess Hilarious shit and Tasha K? Get up in the comments. I definitely want to know what y'all think about that one. Moving on.
I said this in the studio. You was like, no, you was Drake. You tripping. I said, I feel like Meek Mill is the Jay-Z of our culture. Well, the culture underneath. You think it's Drake. You see how you're looking at me?
1,000%.
You was smoking dope. You smoking.
I mean, like,
I'm curious. Now you explain.
So Drake came out in what, 08? It's 2023. Like, he changed the sound of hip hop.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Right? Yeah, for sure.
He's literally ran every summer.
Did Jay-Z change the sound of hip hop?
Absolutely.
Or he kind of like paid homage to a lot of pieces of hip hop.
Everyone wanted to be like Hov. Everybody tried to sound like Hov.
I mean, Hov, he said it himself. We paid homage to a bunch of pieces of hip-hop.
The only reason why the only comparison that for me, for you to say Meek, is that like Meek is more connected to the streets.
That's probably the biggest reason, though.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like from a hip-hop cultural perspective.
When you say culture, what do you mean by that?
Like the way Drake touches culture is the way Hov touched culture, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Like Drake is like a nigga on steroids. Like,
no, I mean,
he sings, he raps, like, you know, he like, so it's like he does shit that had never been seen. And like I said, like, it was, if we look at how melodic hip hop is today, would it be that way if it wasn't for Drizzy? You know, and I just think that, like, you know, the same way, you know, Hove would even attach himself to other artists, and you know, they would go on to have successful runs. Like, Drake does that as well. Like, you know, yeah, they say he has like the golden touch. So, you know, I think Drake is the closest thing we've seen to Hove when it comes to like dominance and runs in the rap game.
I say Meek only because,
and to be honest, I'd put Wayne there before I would put Meek. Like, if we're talking about like for your generation,
I
like
only
Wayne is more of the next to Jay than Meek is.
Wayne came out at 12, right? Well, he was born in what, 86?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm born in 91. It's like 5 years, right? So I only reason I say Meek because I specifically seen Meek with the nappy braids, right? Like in the trenches, I mean Flamers, right? Before the Dream Chasers, Flamers 4, Flamers mixtapes and shit like that. I seen him talking shit like, man, I want Nicki and then get her. You feel me? Like, I feel like when I speak to people about Jay-Z, they seen the same. They seen him like back when his hustling days. Like, Drake came out on TV. Like, yeah, he was nice. I'm not taking nothing away. Drake is, he's like you said, on steroids. He's like, he's out of this world. He's not even like, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to the music, I'm 100% with you. But when I talk about the culture, like, Meek was that guy that little niggas from the hood look at like, did he run
Did he run 10 summers?
Meek, 10 summers? When you say run 10 summers, like, if we can't compare it to Drake, come on. That's not fair.
Why is it not fair?
Fuck the 10 summers. When I'm talking about a nigga in the hood looking at somebody that's successful, talking Meek.
All right. And every summer, them niggas in the hood, when they went to the club, what was they listening to?
They probably listening to Drake for sure.
All right then.
Hey, if you don't like listening to rappers yell and scream at you at the top of their lungs, then that may mean you are not a fan of Meek Mill. So in that case, this just might not mean nothing to y'all, but Meek is at it again. All right. Now, in that clip you just heard, it was your boy DJ Drama talking about why he believes that Drake is the new coming of Jay-Z. And the person that was giving him the interview, obviously, was champion Meek Mill. And though I can understand what he was talking about as it pertains to Meek represents the struggle to a lot of people, I also understand exactly what DJ Drama was talking about, and so did the other guy, because he definitely did concede that, you know, when it comes to the conversation of consistency and longevity and ability and actual hits and number ones and all that, there is absolutely no one better than Drake, okay? Now, unless you're on Twitter and you like are following these people, you kind of miss things. But I actually happened to be on Twitter yesterday, which was the 29th of May, when Meek Mill first came out of his mouth with some slick to Drama. And I seen it, and then I started seeing Say Cheese and everybody run with it. And I was just like, okay, whatever. But then it was today when he's posting the receipts, and then everything starts to come out. Because see, yesterday Meek Mill has this whole thing going on where essentially he is sleeping with someone that either she was dealing with Drama, or Drama may have feelings for, whatever the case may be. Meek Mill was telling a story that sounds like, hey, be careful who you messing around with, because these chicks will burn your bridges and cause you issues. Okay. Fast forward to a situation where the internet is buzzing like, oh, maybe Meek is upset because Drama, you know, kicked him off the album. What's all of this going on? Then we wake up to find, hey, DJ Drama had some type of deal on the table at Tiny Desk. And I'm assuming the deal was contingent on him being able to provide Meek Mill, because I'm not sure why he would actually say that he got Meek Mill when he didn't lock lock it in with Meek. Now, here's what Meek tweeted. Meek tweets, "He confirmed Tiny Desk without speaking to my team or me. I told him I wasn't locking it in. I'm not even on his album. I'm too up to be working on another man's rollout. What the fuck? Every time I rap, I get rich, and I ain't been barely rapping. I've been on business timing. I hate these industry niggas. If they can't use you to try to devalue you, I hate these industry niggas. If they can't use you, they try to devalue you to the public." Okay? Then in that tweet, he includes some text messages where it's first one's from Drama, where he's like, "Yo, hit me. Juelz saying you haven't locked it in with Tiny Desk. I already told him you was confirmed and working on the entire performance around you being a part of it. Please, bro, I need you." Meek responds, "I ain't locking it in yet. I'm saying I want to do it. I'ma look at the setup when I get out of this meeting." Then Drama sends the prayer hands. "I do want to note that on the text message, the original messages was from Wednesday, May 15th. Now we have messages coming from Drama on the 17th, which is 2 days later, where he's like, need to know if you went for Tiny Desk." Then Meek seems to cut off the text where he said whatever he said, but then it got Drama responding back. "Shit ain't got nothing to do with no bitches. To be honest, I don't even speak on all of that, on all of the real sucker shit you be doing. That's the crazy part. You just did it to me again for the Tiny Desk podcast. Fucked up my whole entire rollout. And it wasn't even man enough to just tell me no." Then Meek goes on to tweet, "I don't want his name living on forever. He dying out." When one of his fans said, "Hey, come on, Meek, you gotta drop a song called Drama Queen and air this nigga out." Meek continues to tweet, "DJ Drama goofy over hoes. He won't speak good on me. I tore him up in the A." That was the tweet from, I would say, yesterday when he first mentioned it, and everybody was like, "Wait, what?" Meek has more tweets where he goes on a rant where he's like, "The biggest mistake you can make in this game is having sex with the wrong female. Jealous men will try to destroy you quietly or find out a way to dislike you. Y'all can keep them gals. I like my family and friends more. It's sad. That man never did real charity in Philly in his life. I'm just saying, bits and parts online because it'd be too much to say. I'd be wanting it to be known when I don't rock with these goofies, and I stand on my tippy toes when I see them, so it's no confusion before we even interact. If they asked me about DJ Drama and Khaled, I wouldn't speak, and I made millions on paper with Khaled, and I'll stay silent. I'm from Philly, and we ain't wear outfitted hats like the Drama shop at the Michelin Nest. I asked Drama, why he always speaking down on me? With a few other words told to him, he's a goofy. I also hit him when he tried to compare dreams and nightmares to I want to rock and downplay me. Don't let these industry lames use you. They don't really even like you." Shaking my head, laughing out loud. See, it seems like DJ Drama may be living rent-free in Meek Mill's mind. And that's okay, because I think Meek Mill has shown all of us that he has a tendency to be just a little bit on the sensitive side. And that is also fine. You know, we can't judge people. Everybody handles situations and go about things differently. But I do feel like Meek is on some sucker shit. And I feel like two things can be happening at one time. First thing that's wrong in this situation, DJ Drama, you should have never promised another man presence at a performance, a podcast, or anything without that man or that man's management or someone directly responsible for that man telling you unequivocally that that man is going to be there and discuss whatever terms are around that. But on the same token, Meek, you're just as corny because you told him you're going to follow up with him once you check it out and see whatever. So I'm not really sure what it is that you wanted to check out and confirm. But if it was really just you wanting this man to get off your line, all you really had to do was say, you know what? I'm good, bruh. I'm not going to do it. And then simply not do it. For you to make a person wait and then you have them pretty much begging and then you get online and start dragging them. Like, that's corny. Just say, bruh, I'm not on your album. I don't want to go on NPR and talk up and perform. I don't want to help you roll out. Fuck you even. Say whatever you want to say to him, but don't be a grown man making conscious decisions to not do grown man and then act like a sucker on the internet when a person bears their soul and straight up comes to you and they're like, bro, I need you. Like, that was real corny, and Meek, you be moving real corny. But hey, I digress. What y'all think?
I'm not going to talk about the list.
Right. I was going to ask you, like, in terms
these are,
of, like,
these are drastically different things. I can give people their credit where it's due.
For sure. I was going to say, in terms of, like, we kind of started this convo talking about hip-hop media for a sec, but, like, how do you kind of see...
And this? I'm happy those... This is not going to come across. I know people are going to... think this is a sarcastic shot. I'm very happy that he was not harmed in that home invasion, because that could have went really bad.
Pussy, that's none of your fucking business, nigga. So I hate when niggas trying to, see, this is a little slick shit you trying to do, nigga. I share that because, again, I share my life. This is the reason why I'm on them lists and y'all two bitch ass niggas ain't on that list, because I share my life. I don't got no time to be, you know what I mean, doing this little weird shit. I share everything that's going on with me. You know what I mean? Sometimes maybe it's not the best time to share it, but eventually I put, people know as much as they need to know about me because I try to live one life. I hear your little, I don't think it's a shot, but I do think that when a white boy like you, just like when you left the letter in my mailbox, that you're going to soon deny that you did, just like the pussy you are. When you say that, you're trying to have undertones like, oh, this is just proof we could get academics. My nigga, I know exactly what's behind that. That's why I talked about it. If I didn't know what was behind it, I would never talk about it. I know exactly what's behind it. Nigga sitting in jail. Ain't got nothing to do with... You would never do a motherfucking thing. To keep it real, I just dislike you because you still a bitch. You did some shit trying to, like, act like you them niggas. Them niggas who was coming in here, them niggas was taking penitentiary and life chances coming in here. That's a fact. You over here are acting like you're the mafia, like you're the mob. Oh! That's why you sending letters, nigga. You playing games, but you're not committed to any of the end results. You don't gotta send no sympathy for me, nigga. I know who I am. I know what I've done. I know what I'm about. I know the controversy with me. I know the public limelight I got. For better or for worse, however it go, academics was academics. I never begged for sympathy from a motherfucking soul. You don't hear me begging sympathy from you. But don't try to sit there and try to do this little whole shit, because we never believed you from the first get-go. That's why I stepped on you. And I still don't believe you now. And I know you about to address it now, but just remember this. I'm the reason why you ain't married that last bitch. And I'm the reason why that your whole fucking relationship got blew up. I'm the reason why you got kicked out of the crib, nigga. Don't make me be the reason why you need a little baby. Don't make me be the reason why you're at the fucking paternity clinic trying to see if it's yours. Don't let me be the reason why you're on child support, nigga. And definitely don't make me be the reason why your fucking baby mama's on my show talking about you. Tread lightly, nigga, because that's what I do. That's how I play. I play like that. That's my avenue. That's how I like to play. So unless you want to be in family court, remember, you lost a lot more than me. I got you fired from your job when you weren't even there. Got your bitch slapping you in the face, beating you up, kicking you out the crib. Your engagement or whatever the fuck y'all had got destroyed. And by the way, you could say all you want. I lied about it. Your side bitch name is Dash. I pull up your girl. Everybody go to your ex-girl page and ask, do she know a bitch like that? Bro, like, listen, I'm a nigga. I lie. Listen, I never lie. I'll expose me to expose you. So when y'all say I'm lying, okay, cool. Y'all all go to this bitch page right here and holler at her and be like, you know a bitch named Dash? The bitch who was fucking man every fifth day? Right here. Go to her page. You hear me? By the way, another reason why I don't hear nobody, ain't nobody could call me on this anyway. Rue, remember your bitch ass blamed her when you said, oh, I'm not safe. Then you said she has Guyana hitmen that was going to run down. Then I said, bitch ass nigga, I'm not over here working.
Now, before we get up out of here, we're going to touch on this whole situation between Rory and Academics. Now, if you're not a fan of the Joe Budden podcast or even follow Academics on Instagram or Twitter, this just might not mean nothing to y'all, but your boy Ak gotta relax. As a fan of Ak, and I like watching his streams, I find him entertaining. I really like it when he get into his investigative bag and he, you know, he's trying to figure out who committed a crime and he's got all his chat niggas looking shit up. Like, Academics is very resourceful. I like Academics because he likes to live within the facts and he likes to live within truth. He does have weird opinion sometimes, but I would honestly say he's one of the few people out here where he's talking hard facts about, you know, the stats and everything that people try to act like it's irrelevant. But at the end of the day, it's everything when you want to talk about the success of an artist. I loved Academics before Everyday Struggle. I loved him during Everyday Struggle, and I've watched him grow, but in so many ways it seems like Academics has digressed. Okay, now I don't know what him and Joe Budden relationship is. They say they cool, they say all of this other shit, but the reality is I feel like they just don't have no issues. I think everybody can relate to a situation where you might be cool with somebody, like you ain't got no problems with them, but that don't mean that's your nigga. That don't mean that's like your people. You know, and as much as Academics and Joe Budden act like they cool, I really do feel like it's a real thin line between their relationship. Because if they were so cool, they could have been gotten together and developed some content or done something together. The fact that they have not, it says a whole lot. And yeah, Joe has gone on his pod and Ak's gone on the Joe Budden pod, but that is not the same as them coming together and curating content and committing to it. And I think if they were as close as they want us to believe they are, then that would have happened a long time ago, for sure. Now, I say all of that to say, Academics' relationship with Joe Budden has always been confusing and conflicting, especially when Rory and Maul were still members of the JBP and there was clear and present smoke with Maul and Rory and Academics. As an outsider looking in, especially as deep into the Joe Budden podcast I was in the past, I honestly feel like Rory and Maul were jealous. And I thought that there was maybe a part of them that felt threatened by Academics. Now, I don't know what kind of correspondence all three of them may have had, which has led to like all of this smoke and the accusations that go on back and forth. But I do feel at the bottom line of it, it's jealousy, possibly on both their parts. But regardless of whatever the issue is, it has been several months since Rory and Maul have left the Joe Budden podcast. Academics has gone on several streams calling Amelie Maul Jay-Z's pre-cum. He has insulted these men in every way possible. And it has been hilarious the whole time. I'm not going to hold you. But this time in particular, he kind of crossed the line for me. And the thing about this time in particular, I have already been kind of just getting sick and tired of the low blows and him coming for Rory and Maul, because even if everything he says about them is true and they're workers and they're broke and they're this and they're that, we get it. Let them be workers. Let them be broke. Let them go live their best life. There is no need for you to sit up here and get on your stream and just like follow them around the internet and have a comment on everything they do if you don't like them. It started to get really played out because I'm watching this stream to hear you comment on what's going on in the culture, not for you to go back and forth talking shit about two other grown men. It's really not that worth it. Now, the situation with Academics and Rory is a bit complicated. If you're not familiar with what's going on, essentially, Academics claims that he is responsible for Rory and his ex-fiance calling off their wedding, and he's got footage of his boys smashing her and doing all type of shit to her, and he essentially created a situation where Rory's ex-fiance was cheating on him, and it was a big deal. Beyond that, Academics also claims that because of this, Rory pulled up, left a letter in his mailbox, did some weird shit, and he's allegedly got it all on camera, all of this bullshit. Of course, Rory denies ever doing that. And since this, Rory has quietly moved on. Now, whether or not Rory used his newborn child as a rollout for his new album and to kind of put some smoke behind his podcast, that is a question for Rory. I am not him. But Rory did recently tell us that he does have a child. I'm not sure if Rory posted the pictures or how the actual baby mother got leaked, but now the internet knows who Rory's baby mother is, and Academics has sent his goons to pretty much make her life miserable. He had pictures of Rory's daughter on his stream, and he was drunk as fuck just talking shit, as I played a little bit earlier, which it got so much worse. If you want to hear that in full, you can get on the stream. And I just think, beyond anything, this beef is old, it's dry, it's tired. Let it go. And then on the other half of it, it's like, all right, I get it. You're mad. Cool. But how long are you going to just keep on saying the same thing? Oh, Mealy Maul and Jay-Z's pre-cum and Lil Rory. Like, how long are you going to call them broke and say the same things about them over and over and over and over and over again? Perhaps they don't care about what you think about them, Ack. And to put somebody's baby mother and child on blast when they don't have nothing to do with your discontent for him is nuts. Just because Rory decided to speak on you in an interview doesn't mean that you should respond this way. You have a platform with mad influence. You should be just a little bit more responsible for the shit that you do. Because if somebody attacks Rory or takes it to another level, Are you going to be paying all those people bail that you're telling to go flood his baby mother's inbox? Because you know the internet is crazy. Niggas do wild shit. And I think you should be just a little bit more responsible for what you're telling your fan base to do. But hey, what do I do? Digress.